no college mandates. The group making waves, still pushing back against the COVID jab, where they are still required for our college students. Yeah, the vaccine's still required for our college students. And you'll also hear from a doctor about the why, the dark and dangerous connections at play in our medical field. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Educate. We're also going to hear from Dr. Clayton Baker on a lot of different topics. He's a New York physician fighting back as part of the growing medical freedom movement. That's coming up. Also ahead here this week, the Minnesota College professor making headlines. He's a criminal justice professor teaching students that police officers are more racist, sexist, and homophobic than the general population. What could possibly go wrong with this lesson plan? Yeah, we're going to explore that story, also making waves, coming up. Good day, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get to those topics here in just a bit. But if you are new to Educate, want to welcome you in. Each and every week, we take a deep dive into education. We also are showing you ways to get involved, the conversations to take to the school boards or even to your friends, how to best approach all things that too many people seem to stay silent on when it comes to educating our kids. And then it's our kids who pay the ultimate price for that silence. So here on Educate, we provide both criticism and also positive solutions to problems. My name is Liz Collin. I am a Minnesota-based journalist with Alpha News. Check us out at alphanews.org. I'm a wife, a mom, and happy to be with you as we navigate this wild world of education together. But we are here to help. With that, one story making news this week. Mankato course teaches that cops are more racist, sexist, homophobic than the general population. So this is a professor that said increased levels of racism, sexism, and homophobia among law enforcement. That's been common knowledge in criminal justice for the last 50 years. This story comes to us from Alpha News by Luke Sprinkle, posted recently. So this is a criminal justice course at Minnesota State University, Mankato, sort of in southwest Minnesota, teaching students that police officers are more racist, sexist, and homophobic than the general population. So the course is CJ 101, taught by a Dr. Jeffrey Dennis. He's an associate professor of criminal justice. And Alpha News obtained test questions given out by Dennis this semester. So here's one question here for you. And you tell me if this is appropriate for a criminal justice professor to be teaching in his class. So one question asked students to complete the following sentence. Police officers in general tend to be more blank than the general population. A, racist. B, sexist. C, homophobic. D, none of the above. Or E, all of the above. Guess what the right answer was? Of course, it's E. In the viewpoint of Dr. Jeffrey Dennis from Minnesota State University, Mankato. So this came to us as a tip on Alpha News and knew that this would be a story that certainly would not sit well as law enforcement is in a crisis situation, not only in Minnesota, but clearly all across the country. And it's professors like this as to the reason why, the kind of poison that they're teaching their own students. And again, a criminal justice course. So Alpha News went ahead and reached out to Dennis to ask about the rationale behind the question. And he said, well, this is exactly what studies prove, that it's been common knowledge in criminal justice for at least 50 years. And he claimed that there were numerous studies to back this up. And Dennis did note that those studies did not imply that all or most police officers exhibit these attitudes. Just that they're more evident in police workspaces than in other professional labs and offices, he said. Then he went ahead and said this. He went on to say that additionally, the professor defended the claim that police officers are more homophobic than the general population. He said that studies indicate that the LGBT persons are regularly charged with indecent exposure, disorderly conduct, or even sodomy for holding hands with a same-sex partner, wearing a pride symbol, or walking while gay. Let me read that again. That this is happening regularly. That if you are gay, you are charged with indecent exposure more often for wearing a pride symbol or walking while gay. I guess this is a citation that police officers are issuing, he says, quite often. Of course, this story is completely insane, and many people have now launched a letter-writing campaign in a way to get him to resign his position or be fired from the Mankato campus of Minnesota State University. So we'll continue to track that story on Alpha News, but we go ahead and feature many stories of some of this insane lessons that these college professors are passing on to the student population. And I think that I wanted to sort of set up today's show with just that. And that leads to the topic this week, still happening on college campuses all across the country. The number has dwindled, but still, many colleges are still requiring COVID-19 vaccines in order for kids to go to school. And we've learned so much along the way these last few years. There is a great organization out there called No College Mandates. And I first had a conversation with Joni McGarry is her name. She has a son at an Ivy League university and sort of how this came to light for her. But just backing up a bit, we're going to go ahead and listen in to Joni explain it in her own words, how this all came to light for her and then why she decided to get involved. So let's take a listen.
My son goes to Dartmouth, and they were requiring the primary series when, I think it was the June 21. I get the years mixed up now. And at the time, I didn't have any connection to any of the movement. I didn't know that he could apply for an exemption and get an exemption. He really wanted to go back, so he did. He ended up going back. And then 6 months later, right before he was to go back for his winter term, after tuition had been paid, after everything was all set, which is when they make these changes, we got a notice that he had to get a booster. And that did feel like a bridge too far. And I thought, well, I'm going to do something about it. And I was sitting on my sofa actually knitting. And I put out a tweet and I went on the Dartmouth Parents Facebook page. And it was then when I realized that it was really hard to find like-minded parents, because most of the parents on, because you don't live in the same town where your kid goes to college. So you don't know these people. And if you go on the Facebook pages, they are highly moderated. And any kind of dissent to this policy can really meet with some vigorous pushback. And so I posted that I was just going to write a letter opposing the booster mandate. And Lucia Sinatra, who is now running No College Mandate, she continues to work there. She popped over onto the DMs and said, you know, I'm in. But most parents were not. So I went on Twitter and tried to get people to amplify my signal so that people could start finding each other. That seemed like the most important thing. And, you know, within 2 weeks, you know, we had 2,000 people in the group, thanks in part due to some early attention from Fox News.
Again, that was Joni McGarry talking about her decision to go ahead and started with a Facebook post with her knitting on the couch, right? Starting with her decision to go ahead and fight back against some of these mandates and helping to form No College Mandates. So we're going to be talking to Dr. Clayton Baker about all of their efforts here coming up shortly here on Educate. I think it'll be a really enlightening conversation we have with him as they've done this important work over the last few years. You'll hear from him talking about how several thousand colleges once mandated this and what it's down to now, how much they've been able to continue this conversation and this push to really get this madness to stop. And all of these medical effects that these vaccines and these mandates have had on these kids, a healthy population otherwise. So where is that all coming from? I think it's kind of an enlightening conversation and takes some dark turns as well that people, I think, have been opening their eyes to as these conversations continue. So more with Dr. Clayton Baker on Educate coming up. Remember to get exclusive digital access to the most informative, nonpartisan, truthful news for patriotic Americans. Discover a refreshing blend of time-honored values, principles, and insightful perspectives within the pages of the New American Magazine. There are still magazines out there worth reading, you guys. Delve into a world where tradition is the foundation and exploration knows no bounds. From politics and finance to foreign affairs, environment, culture, and technology, we bring you an unparalleled array of topics that matter most. For more, visit thenewamerican.com. The New American, no more, do more. Again, that's thenewamerican.com. Visit today.
Can you believe after all the recent violent protests, looting, and destruction, some communities are considering either defunding or abolishing the police? If you agree that now is the time when police protection is needed most, then it's time we stand up and support your local police and the communities they serve. Call 800-JBS-USA1 and request your free Support Your Local Police info packet. That's 800-JBS-USA1 and request your free Support Your Local Police info packet today.
Welcome back to Educate. I'm Liz Collin. And on the show this week, a topic that many I know want to move on from, but we simply cannot, as some of these absolutely insane mandates still exist. There is so much to talk about on this subject. And that is where No College Mandates enters the picture. A group of concerned parents, doctors, nurses, professors, students, and other college stakeholders working toward the common goal of ending COVID-19 vaccine mandates. There are still COVID-19 vaccine mandates in place. You ask at these colleges, the answer is yes. And again, at college campuses, no less. And my guest this week is Dr. Clayton Baker. Welcome to Educate, sir. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Liz. Great to be here.
Tell us a bit about yourself to start with. I know you have decades of experience. It's been a long journey for you these last few years. How did you end up here? Such a big part of this medical freedom movement we now hear so much about, doctor.
Well, I was a pretty conventional physician prior to COVID. I am an internist, so I take care of non-surgical problems in adults. I've been doing that for over 25 years, been in practice throughout, unlike a lot of the people who are dictating policy who, quite frankly, never see patients like Anthony Fauci or the like. And, you know, really minded my business and took care of my patients until COVID came along. And it became very evident to me, really, at the very onset of the lockdowns that my profession in general and public health in particular were being commandeered by the whoever was behind the whole COVID debacle to essentially seize civil rights away from people, to basically dictate our lives at a level that was unforeseen, certainly in my lifetime. And I think really more consistent with a martial law kind of state than with a free country or even a free world that's based on civil liberties along the lines of the Bill of Rights. And I thought this was just absolutely outrageous. I first became involved at the level of secondary schools because my kids were still in secondary school at the time. And I watched them, you know, their school year in the spring of 2020 just came to a abrupt halt. And they essentially had nothing resembling a real education for the last 3 months of that year. And then over the summer, it became apparent to me that they weren't going to go back to school in any sort of normal fashion in the fall. So I became very active locally, trying to get our public and parochial schools fully open in the fall of 2021. And we were not initially successful at all, but I received a very, very rapid and painful education in just how tenuous our civil rights are. And also, subsequently, a lesson in just how dependent our civil rights are right now. The new way to attack them, if you are someone with a totalitarian bent in government, which unfortunately seems to be an awful lot of people in government, is to go after it through public health. And so medical freedom in some ways becomes freedom. It becomes civil liberties because the newest and arguably the most successful way anyone has restricted civil liberties worldwide is exactly what happened to us over the last 4 years.
My guest again this week is Dr. Clayton Baker from the state of New York, but representing No College Mandates, talking a bit more about that work. So you have three children. You're in the Rochester, New York area. at the time. Give us a bit of an update then. So how you transitioned to this no college mandates, your work there now, you guys have been doing incredible work. I had some conversations with some representatives in the past, but there are still colleges requiring all these years later, COVID-19 vaccine mandates.
Yes, there are. And it's very disturbing. And I was fortunate enough as I became more active in the medical freedom movement to do a fair amount of writing for Brownstone Institute. And through Brownstone Institute, I got to know Lucia Sinatra, who's the leader of No College Mandates. And we've worked together on a couple of different projects. And I've been very blessed to become one of the physicians that's involved with that organization. Getting to your point about colleges, you know, there are slightly less than 4,000. It's hard to get an exact count, but there's slightly less than 4,000 colleges, two-year, four-year, and so on in the United States. When the fall of the fall of 2020 school year came, many of these colleges were remote. They were not in person. Mm-hmm. And the following year, when the vaccines became available, all but about 600 of those institutions mandated some form of COVID-19 shot for students, for undergraduates, for example, to matriculate those years into in-person learning. So you're talking about 600 who did not require it, and the overwhelming majority, maybe 3,300 who did. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, myself included, felt that this was outrageous for several reasons. First of all, because young people, as we knew from even before they shut down the schools in March of 2020, the very earliest days of COVID, they knew very quickly that the risks of the COVID virus were incredibly age stratified. Right. So if you were obviously very elderly, there was considerable risk. But if you were a child or a very young adult, the risk of serious illness and death due to COVID was virtually zero. Nobody, no child died of COVID in Sweden since the onset of the pandemic. Think about that for a second. No child died in Finland of COVID during the pandemic. Sweden's got 6 to 8 million people in it. Finland's a little smaller, but they were two of the countries that were the least severe in terms of lockdowns of schools, right? And so they lost no children. So the risk was infinitesimal. The risk was negligible. And yet children were punished to an absolute extreme. And this went on when they went to college. So the whole notion of requiring them to get COVID shots was not helpful to them. And you could say, well, what harm did it do? Well, now we're seeing how much myocarditis and how much sudden death and how much of these other serious side effects from the vaccines are taking place. And ironically, a lot of those, like the myocarditis, tends to happen in young people. So you've got a heightened risk, you've got no benefit, absolutely medically contraindicated, and some schools are still requiring it, if you can believe it. So through the work of...
And I'm going to just stop you there. Dr. Clayton Baker, again, is my guest this week on Educate. I just have to pause there to take a quick commercial break, but there is so much to talk about. And even this messaging you speak of what's happening in Sweden, something, a message that we certainly were not repeating in the United States. And then how did we get here requiring this on college campuses as we continue this conversation this week with Dr. Clayton Baker. The show is brought to you by The New American. For more, visit thenewamerican.com. Educate. We'll be right back.
Are you fed up with where our nation is headed? Here at the John Birch Society, we know how to fix a reckless, corrupt, and out-of-control government. It starts with patriots like you. We believe the only way to liberty and national sovereignty is to not only understand what's in our founding documents, but demand that every elected official adhere to them. The Constitution is America's only solution. Join the John Birch Society today. Visit us at jbs.org.
Welcome back to Educate. Again, this is Liz Collin, continuing my conversation with Dr. Clayton Baker, representing No College Mandates. And I just find this fascinating. You're doing a great job, Doctor, piecing this all together as to how you got involved with No College Mandates. So take us back again. We're seeing what's happening overseas, elsewhere. There's no kids getting sick from COVID, or dying, I should say, from COVID. In the U.S., we had a completely different approach. And then talk about especially, you know, these thousands of colleges that are then requiring these young, healthy kids to get back to school, but to be, you know, basically injected first.
Exactly. I think that this started, as we mentioned before, in the fall of 2021. And again, probably 3,300 or so, I don't have the exact numbers, out of almost 4,000 required it. Groups like No College Mandates and so on worked very, very hard. And now we have it down at the present time to only 48 colleges who are still holding out and requiring COVID-19 vaccinations for their students to come back to school this fall as we speak right now. And these last 48 are a really interesting group. I mean, sort of the reasons for it differ from place to place. You'd think everyone would just kind of throw in the towel now and say, you know, that what's the point? But some are still holding out even at this late date. And then to add another layer of complexity and another layer of concern to this, we're talking about undergraduate students where, again, we've gotten from somewhere around 3,000 plus down to 48 holdouts. However, pardon me, with healthcare students, like medical students, nursing students, and other healthcare students, most schools still require the COVID-19 jabs in order to basically enroll and continue, particularly for your clinical rotations, which of course you can't graduate from medical or nursing school without doing clinical rotations. And this is a very disturbing situation because many of these schools have given up on this ridiculous mandate, this unsafe, dangerous mandate for their undergraduates, but they're still clinging to it for various reasons with their healthcare students. And this is there's really some very disturbing and kind of dark reasons for that.
Well, let's go into that again, my conversation with Dr. Clayton Baker, because that's what's hard to even wrap your head around. Why would these 48 colleges still be clinging to this mandate all these years later? And actually, after, you know, people at the top have been presented, they have consumed this information, I'm sure by now, to show just how dangerous this is, especially for this population.
Yes, I think that when you look at some of the remaining schools, you realize that there are several different reasons why this is going on. I think it was quite noteworthy that Harvard recently was one of the last holdouts. I think they were in the last 50, but they were one of the last several to drop their mandates for their undergraduates. However, Johns Hopkins is still requiring it. And those were probably the two most prominent colleges in terms of their prestige of their medical schools, perhaps in the whole country. So one of them finally dropped it for their undergrads, and the other one still has not. It's worth noting that Johns Hopkins, being so close to Washington, D.C., is embroiled with the sort of biodefense wing of the government to an extent that's almost unbelievable. I mean, they actually host a lot of these exercises like Cladex and these other quasi-intelligence community, quasi-biodefense war game exercises. So Johns Hopkins is in so deep with not only NIH, CDC, and all of the HHS agencies. They get a ton of NIH money, but they're also tied in with the whole biodefense industry at a level that perhaps even Harvard isn't. So that might be the reason for Hopkins. Rutgers is a big state university that's doing, still hanging on, clinging to these mandates. And Rutgers, if you do dig a little deeper, has a tremendous relationship with Pfizer. Pfizer has a huge internship program and a huge recruitment program into its ranks from Rutgers. Rutgers is in whatever it is, Piscataway or New Brunswick, New Jersey, and right across the river, of course, Pfizer's international headquarters in New York City. So that's they perhaps, we posit, or that may be the reason they're holding out. A lot of the historically Black colleges and universities are still holding out. And this is actually really kind of very disturbing. But historically, the Black population in the United States has been very resistant to a lot of HHS propaganda, we would call it, for a lot of things in light of how they've been mistreated by federal agencies in the past. The Tuskegee syphilis experiment would be a classic example. And so what's happened is there was a lot of money put into the HBCUs to target them and to encourage them to be very aggressive about getting all of their students vaccinated, essentially kind of sidestepping the older generations of African Americans who are skeptical of these things at a higher rate than the average population, and going straight to the kids and getting them to getting the buy-in at that level. So there's a lot of different reasons why this is happening and why the real holdouts, we see exactly what's going on and just kind of how dark a lot of it is. It's not just random. It's not just because, you know, one place has a president who's a particularly avid, you know, enthusiast of vaccines. It's there's always money changing hands, and there's always influence that is something other than the best interests of the people involved, of the students, certainly.
And it's just so important for people to really understand this backstory and how, like you've said, deep this goes and dark for people to grasp, I think, as well. If we can switch gears a bit, again, my guest, Dr. Clayton Baker, out in the state of New York, representing no college mandates. But I know you guys are very active on X and thankful for your messaging there. You've covered a bit of vaccine injuries, which are well documented, the myocarditis cases in the college population. Football players, I know you've done posts about untimely deaths when it comes to that population. It's really just truly tragic to hear about so many of these stories. In the state of Minnesota alone, where I work as a reporter, there are 500 deaths that are connected to the COVID vaccine reported to the government, tens of thousands of injuries related to the COVID vax. But talk a bit more about that in the couple minutes we have remaining here as to what you've been able to learn specifically when it comes to vaccine injuries related to the college-aged population, doctor.
Yes, I think that there are certain complications related to the mRNA vaccines that are more common and consequently and more dramatic, which are subsequently better known. Obviously, myocarditis and then the subsequent risk of sudden death would be perhaps foremost there. And they're also extremely well documented. So I think a lot of people are really aware of that. And of course, the population that's at highest risk for that happens to be young males. So that's why we're seeing why it's so closely tied to young athletes and so on. But there are a lot of other toxicities that have been documented with these mRNA products. The first that comes to mind besides the myocarditis and the subsequent risk of sudden death is a lot of the coagulation problem. So there's data coming out now, and this is often with older patients, but a tremendous amount of really large, unusual blood clots that we're finding. And this is coming out of, a lot of times, out of the data that we're getting from undertakers when they do.
Doctor, I'm going to have to go ahead and stop you right there, and I might hold you on here just for another segment because I think this is just all so fascinating. Is that okay? Are you able to hang on with me here?
Sure.
Okay, we'll go ahead and take a quick break and come back with Dr. Clayton Baker from No College Mandates. You're listening to Educate. A reminder, this show is brought to you by The New American. And for more, visit thenewamerican.com.
Self-reliance. It's not a phrase we hear much in our culture these days. It might conjure up images of pioneers, the West, rifles, strapping men, and strong women. But what does it mean for us in today's world? The New American Magazine has just released its latest collector's edition, Self-Reliance, Foundation of Freedom. In it, the New American authors outline the necessity of self-reliance for a free people, tips for self-reliant living, and the importance of not giving up hope. This unique edition includes articles on the self-sufficiency of the founders, preparing for a worst-case scenario, firearms, financial self-reliance, the importance of community, and many other topics by expert writers. Now, for a limited time, The New American is offering a bundle of three collector's editions, Self-Reliance, The Great Reset, and Trump World, for just $19.95. A great stocking stuffer, available at shopjbs.org. Visit shopjbs.org today.
Welcome back to Educate. Again, this is Liz Collin having a conversation with Dr. Clayton Baker this week. It's not often that I go ahead and take advantage of more people and their time, but I did ask Dr. Clayton Baker to hang on with me here a bit because this is so important, and I think so many people are waking up to this reality that we've all sort of been living here these last few years. But Doctor, before we went to break, you were talking a bit about, you know, some of these injuries and also what these undertakers are finding, which is so disturbing. But let's go ahead and pick up the conversation there.
Sure. Well, both pathologists and undertakers have noticed an increase in clotting disorders, in large clots that they're finding either when they're preparing a deceased body for burial or when they're doing autopsies in the case of the pathologist. And this is something that really has been quite heavily suppressed by the mainstream medicine, which has a vested interest in not allowing the truth to get out about these complications of the mRNA products. And I think there's other areas too that perhaps we don't have time to get into, but an awful lot of immunological problems are coming up now. What I noticed in the fall in my own practice was a tremendous upswing in the fall of 2023 of dermatologic problems, severe skin reactions, and so on. And I've talked with other people who have noticed the same thing. Now, we don't know whether that's the newest version of the mRNA COVID jab or whether it's just a result of, you know, accumulated exposures in patients, but that's something that we've seen more and more of. So there's a whole host of different organ systems that are affected potentially by these products. And it's really something that it's scandalous to me that, you know, for example, the CDC, Mandy Cohen, just came out and said that it's time for another spring booster for patients over 65. Wow. And, you know, this would be, I don't know whether it would be the eighth or ninth booster, but it's hard to believe that they can convince people, you know, the most boosters you ever got in the past was a yearly flu shot. And now we're talking about some people having had upwards of eight or nine shots in 3 years. So it's really, I think it's really a deliberate attempt by the pharmaceutical companies and by their friends in these government agencies to really promote these as sort of vaccine by subscription. You know, it's like renewing your subscription every 3 months or something, which is just absolutely mind-boggling from the standpoint of a physician who's been, you know, taking care of patients for 25 years.
Yeah, and I'm sure that just has to bother you so much on an ethical level to see this continue. And then in our final few minutes here, I'm kind of curious. I know you guys speak, you know, in front of different people pushing back against these mandates for no college mandates. And I know have done a great deal of work in pushing back these 48 that remain. Do you see a day where these mandates will go away finally at these, you know, few dozen that are holdouts? Or is this just going to be the new world we live in, that students will have to be subjected to these vaccines in order to go to school there?
I think that it's hard to say that we get down to zero. I don't know when we'll get down to zero. I think that what we're seeing is that this is going to be a recurring issue, because I can't see otherwise. I'm sorry to say this, but the reality is that, for example, Moderna has multiple mRNA products in the pipeline right now. So for a variety of different viruses. And so this is the mRNA platform, more so in my mind than just the COVID shots, is really the wave of the future. It's a new way of producing products in a very rapid way, in a very quick way. And they're very much trying to instill in people that this is something that you're going to want to take, like I said, on a subscription basis. And so this is the new paradigm, if you will, for vaccines. And I think that that's something that everyone has to be aware of and has to be very vigilant about. We may get to a point where people just lose interest in COVID itself, right, to the point where that may drop off. However, the new paradigm is, here's a new problem, here's a new disease X, as the WHO is threatening us with. And, oh, good news, the mRNA platform allows us to get something out and into your arm in record time. So this 10-year process that it took to get a vaccine out in the past, imperfect though that was, is now, you know, the warp speed approach with the mRNA products is really the new paradigm. So people need to be very aware of this, very vigilant about it. And certainly they will aggressively go after young people. Like I said, we just see this in multiple different ways, going after the HBCUs to sidestep the beliefs of that particular group of people, going after healthcare students, which we're convinced is largely because they want to screen out people who are going to be dissenters and really just only allow people into the profession that are going to be compliant. So it's a very, very dark and very much psychologically based approach.
And I know you have a book that is coming out soon. Is that correct? What can people watch for there?
Oh, yes. Thank you for giving me the shameless plug opportunity. I write regularly for Brownstone Institute. So please check out my writing there. Encourage your listeners to do that. And I'm working on a book to kind of give patients an opportunity or give patients some strategies on how to navigate healthcare in the post-COVID world. And I hope to have that out around the end of the year. That's my goal.
And we'll continue to follow your work again, Dr. Clayton Baker. And real quick, too, where can people go for more information on no college mandates? As I said, you guys are active on X, and there's a website to check out as well.
Yeah, the website, and I think that the X, if you want to get sort of regular information, the folks that run the X account for no college mandates, I think Lucia does a lot of it, but she has some other folks that help her, and they keep kind of a running count. When we get a couple of colleges to finally drop the mandate, she updates it. So it's a great way to get an updated version, is to find her on Twitter X. And you can follow my Twitter account too. I'm at CJ Baker MD on Twitter X. So please feel free to do that. And then we're both Lucia and myself write for Brownstone at brownstone.org. So those are the three main, and of course the website. So those are the three main outlets that you're gonna find the work that we're doing.
Well, again, thank you so much. I know many, many kids that had to, you know, reconsider where they went to school. Some just came home and stayed there. Many left healthcare as a result of this. So I think that, you know, the consequences will be felt obviously for years to come. So thank you so much for lending all of your great advice and, you know, stepping out and being one of the brave ones. They don't make them like you. It seems like Dr. Clayton. So Dr. Clayton Baker, again, I should say, thanks so much for all the time you spent with us on Educate today.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Great conversation with Dr. Clayton Baker from New York, representing No College Mandates. I did want to go ahead and let you know No College Mandates can be found on X. It's at NCM Forever. So that's NCM, No College Mandates. Four, the number four, I should say, ever, E-V-E-R. So go ahead and follow their important work there. And what's interesting, it was about a year ago that I interviewed Joni McGarry. She was one of the founders of No College Mandates about this very topic, an Ivy League parent turned anti-mandate activist. At the time, there were more than 1,000 colleges when I spoke with her still mandating this vaccine. So in a year, obviously a pretty significant drop to just have 48 still mandating, but does seem to be wild, especially after what Dr. Baker just talked to us about, that the fact that there are 48 still requiring this. But during that interview a year ago, McGarry said something with me that I thought was quite interesting. She says this whole term anti-vaxxer, I think it's so problematic. I mean, I don't even know what it really means. Is someone against all vaccines? It's just used as such a smear. I was someone, she says, who never questioned medicine, never questioned pharmaceuticals. I worked in biotech. I worked in big pharma. So this is coming from her at the time. My husband is a physician. Again, Joni McGarry, one of the founders of No College Mandates, speaking out at that time more than a year ago. And she says, you know, we didn't think twice about all the vaccinations on the schedule, she says, of her own experience. And I think that quote summarizes a bit what others have thought through this, you know, now that more people are waking up. So a great conversation today on Educate. Again, this has been Liz Collin. Thank you so much for joining me this week. This show is brought to you by The New American. For more, visit thenewamerican.com. Have a great week, everyone.